talking about me? I'ma talk about that. This is Candid Christian Combos Podcast.
Hey guys.
Hey y'all. What's good?
Welcome back.
Okay, we sound like this because we had some technical difficulties.
The weapons have been formed.
But they were not fashioned.
Well, they're fashioned. But they are not prospered.
Yep, that's all that matters.
Depends on the translation that you use. Yeah. Formed fashion.
Yeah.
Welcome back to another episode of Candid Christian Combos, the podcast. If you're new here, I am your host, Marilla, and this is my beautiful sister, Farah.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm shy.
You're shy?
I'm shy.
That's okay. Do you read cookies? Do you like the cookies notification that pops up? Do you accept cookies?
When you said, do I read cookies, I was very confused for a second. I don't read... No. I don't. I at all costs, like, anytime I'm doing something and something pops up, I'm just like, I just press any button, whatever. just get off.
So they be tracking you, is what you say.
Girl, I don't even want to know what's on my laptop.
Like, yeah. Your FBI agent watching you like, girl.
Yeah.
Do you read cookies?
No.
But I think Victor said something about how he doesn't want them tracking him, so he always clicks reject. And it didn't occur to me that you could reject the cookies.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like they hide the reject button.
No, they don't.
They don't make it as obvious as the accept.
Yeah, what are cookies even for, bro?
It's for tracking.
Tracking what?
Tracking your, like, usage of the website so that they can advertise to you.
Oh. Yeah, I think now my default is actually not. Like, because why are you trying to track? Did I tell you I want you to advertise?
Well, you just told me you click whatever button you need to.
Yeah, but... Maybe I was thinking more so like pop-ups on the screen.
Mm.
But I also have sense, right?
I mean, if I'm desperately trying to access the website and they're asking me the cookies, I'm like, okay, fine. Give me the cookies.
I'll take the damn cookies.
That's so funny. That might seem random, but it's actually a segue into our conversation today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look at you.
That's our host. So today we're talking about guarding your heart for music. And the reason I say it's connected is because music doesn't ask you for permission to track you.
Whoa, that was good. That was real good.
Music just like passes through like to your subconscious without asking for permission.
That's real. The number of earworms I have a week is ridiculous. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all know it. Like, the TikTok sounds. Twin, where have you
been? Are we promoting that here?
Oh, shoot. Hey, we're keeping it candid.
Anyway. Yeah, so we're talking about guarding your heart against music. The reason I wanted us to have this conversation is because I feel like we've both had interesting journeys navigating... kind of weeding out secular music from our lives, right?
Mm.
You probably more so than me because you're a big music person. Like,
yeah, but I am.
How many playlists do you think you have, like, ballpark?
Oh. I'm a big music person, but I don't actually love making playlists. But in the grand scheme of my music history, maybe 50.
Yeah. So you're a music girl. And so Proverbs 4:23, which is
She got the verses memorized, guys. She knows her stuff.
I mean, the Holy Spirit graces us. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. There are different translations that say different things, but how out of it is the wellspring of life. Like, the essence is guarding your heart because it is the source of life. That's the premise of this podcast. So my first question for you is, what flowed from your heart when you were listening to secular music?
We're jumping right into the deep end.
Yeah.
Okay, can I ask you a question back after I answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just thinking, like, before I answer your question, because again, I'm playing devil's advocate, even for myself. Why should I
Okay, so maybe we start there. Why should you guard your heart?
Well, like your verse said, like, from it flows the riches of life. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Like the Bible, I don't know what the exact reference is. But with all those things coupled, I think your heart is such an important thing to God, because if evil is flowing out of your heart, like, literally, I was writing my journal the other day, actually, all action comes from the secret places of our hearts. Like, even
right, if there's a verse that says that.
Really? What is it?
Don't put me on the spot like that. But it says, like, out of the heart comes, like, perverse talk, like, there's a list.
Mm-hmm. It was during my Bible study, so I think it obviously, that's a given, like, foundationally. But why do we need to guard our hearts from music specifically? Like, why is music something we should be guarding our hearts from? Like, should I guard my hearts from movies or, like, art? Like, in the museum?
I think yes to all of the above. I feel like each person knows what they need to guard their hearts against or, like, yeah, from. Mm-hmm. And I think it's essentially ear gates and eye gates. Like, anything that could be a portal to which your heart, or to access your heart, like your eyes, your ears. I think those are the two primary gates. That is what we need to guard against. So, like, for some people, it's what they watch. For some people, it's what they listen to. For some people, it's what they read. Mm. So we could have a very, like, vast conversation. Mm. But I think I've never really been tempted by what I read or, like, what I watch. So music is what we're talking about.
Mm. So you've been tempted by music in the past?
I have been.
Okay, that's fair. And I feel like music is so, is the word pervasive? I think so, in our society today.
Mm-hmm. I think music also seems harmless. And that is why not many people see or think there's anything wrong with listening to secular music. Because they're like, it's just lyrics. It's just, whereas, like, if you actively, let's say, a movie that had a sex scene, like, it's objectively, people can say, okay, well, I guess that is, like, you know, provocative. But music is often not thought of as being provocative. So I think it's the most, like, sly.
Like a little fox, almost.
Yes, it, like, it creeps up on you. And that's why I said music doesn't ask you for permission. It just will invade your subconscious and then,
yeah. So do you think that music, we should be most aware of it because it's, like, the least suspecting, or?
Yes.
Okay. Because I think there's so many parts of this conversation, and I guess I'll let you ask your questions, but I'm just thinking about some people who listen to music, and then they say, oh, but I don't listen to the lyrics, so, like, it doesn't really matter, and I don't even know what they're saying, which is wild. But other people are like, okay, but, you know, I like the beats. Okay, what if it's sec? Because I think maybe we even need to define secular music, because even, like, all these oldies, like, their secular music, Mr. Telephone Man, for example, nothing technically bad in there. I know people who listen to, even Christians who listen to secular music, but who don't listen to, like, perverse secular music. So, yeah, what are you thinking of when you're thinking about this conversation and this topic? Which is,
I don't think, I'm trying to be careful with my words. I don't think all secular music is bad. Because I think if we're making a distinction between Christian music and secular music, Baby Shark is secular. You know what I'm saying? Like, nursery rhymes are secular. So I don't think secular music is inherently wrong. So maybe secular is too broad of a term to use here. But when I say that I stop listening to secular music, I'm talking about, I don't want to say perverse music. I'll give you an example. Maybe that will help me qualify what I'm talking about. My journey started when I was, I've never really been big on music. Like, growing up, I wasn't allowed to watch MTV. I wasn't allowed to watch Tanya O. Those were, like, the things that people used to watch growing up. So, like, I was introduced to music as a concept pretty late in comparison to my friends. Mm. And so music has never played a big part in my life like that. Like, I was never a, I need to listen to music to study. I need to listen to music if I'm, like, working out. Like, it just wasn't part of my life. I didn't used to work out, period.
That clears things up.
But it was something I had to, like, get into. I don't know how else to explain it. Mm-hmm. So it didn't have as much of a pull on me. But still, there was once that I was in an elevator, I think, and, like, the music was, like, some, maybe, like, sexual healing or something. And maybe I'm remembering the facts wrong. Maybe it wasn't an elevator, but it was somewhere where the music was in my, like, background. It wasn't something I was actively listening to. And I found myself just singing the song, like, as the day went on, like, when I get that feeling. And I was like, what am I singing right now? And that wasn't even the worst part. It was like, I found in moments of temptation, like, let's say I'm feeling, I was feeling
hot and heavy.
Hot and heavy when I was single. And these lyrics will come back to me. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it would, like, increase, like, the desire I had, because I don't know what the psychology of it is, but the thought was in my head. The songs were playing as the backing track of my thoughts. Mm. And so it was like the drive was intensified. Mm. And so I was like, huh, imagine what would happen if I did the same thing, but with Christian music. And I found that to be the case, that in moments where, like, I was under duress, the lyrics came back to me. And whether it was like, you are the defender of my soul, in moments where I was feeling, like, worn down and beaten down, like, it came down back to me, and, like, my spirit was strengthened. So it made me draw parallels between, like, so what happens to my spirit when all these other lyrics are coming back to me, and how can I use music for my benefit rather than for my, to my demise? So I don't know how to qualify the kind of music I'm talking about, but I think each person knows what they're tempted by.
I don't think so.
You don't?
No. I think, again, like you said, music can seem so harmless.
Okay, do you want to pull up a definition of secular music?
Secular music is music that is intended for a non-religious audience. But yeah, I know there's different camps of secular music, obviously, which is why I feel like this conversation is super interesting, and I'm just curious. I guess you have questions, to hear your questions, because I remember even Jackie recently was talking, Jackie O'Perry, was talking about how she remembers a time where she didn't used to listen to, she used to listen to secular music, but then she stopped. Anyways, long story short, she, it, what she said implied that she still listens to music, but not, like, music that are, music that's bad. Excuse me, music that's bad. But yeah, so, not that she's Jesus or anything, but she's, you know, somebody who's been walking in her faith for a while, and
so that's why I said, like, how do you qualify what bad music is?
I think bad music is music that is not in line with the word of God. So, for example, like, sexual music and, like, all these whole something, something, something.
That is interesting. And I think we're going very much on a tangent here. So I think what would be helpful is is, like, what you were saying, talking about our own experiences, because I feel like the trickiness comes when we're trying to
catch
generalize and create this kind of theory that can be extrapolated to other people's works. And that's where I feel like the lines get blurry, because what's bad to me might not be bad to you.
So Farah,
why is guarding your heart against music important to you?
It's important to me.
That's really like an interview.
No, because I was going to go on a tangent, but we just came from a tangent, so I'm going to just answer the question. Guarding my heart is from music is important to me because I think, like you said, music has a way of seeping into your subconscious. And if I'm trying to grow in spiritual maturity, if I'm trying to grow in the fruit, It's like, for me, music is like planting a tree. Not music, but what? It's like secular music. We've tried to qualify this. It's hard, but do that what you will. Secular music is like putting pesticides or poison in your, like, in your soil.
Mm.
So, like, why am I spending all this time, like, tending to my tree, and then I'm not putting these things that are, like, growing weeds. Okay, maybe not poison, but weeds. And I know that it's... because I know there's so many nuances with this conversation. So I just kind of said, you know what? I don't have all the answers of good and bad, but I do know I want to consecrate my ears to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's anything wrong in saying that. So that's how I kind of stopped listening to secular music. But it's wild because even in my journey of stopping to listen to secular music, I'm still on TikTok. I still be singing all these like little tunes here and there. I have loads of earworms as well because I have a very, pretty big music, like, library in my brain. And I really like music, so I don't go out of my way to listen to music. But sometimes I'm like, oh, this is a catchy tune. And I'm just like, should I stop myself? Should I not? I don't know. It's an interesting journey. What about you?
I think I answered this already in the beginning.
You did when you told your little story.
Yeah. I think music, whether we like it or not, I think can incite like a specific reaction in us. So there's music that makes you feel good. There's music that can make you feel sad. Like, you know, when you had your sad girl music phase?
Oh, that was a time.
So there's like music is emotive. Like that's why even in movies, if you put a backing track that's sad, like it changes the whole feel of the video. So music is designed to like elicit a certain effect in us. So I think we shouldn't be oblivious to that fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact, period. There's music I listen to in the gym because it makes me like when I want to lift, like, it gingers me to lift.
It pumps me up.
So, like, if that is the case, there's also music that can make you feel raunchy. There's music that can make you wish there was somebody in your bed. There's music that can make you wish, you know, like you had a romantic partner. Like, am I unique in that? Have you experienced that?
You have, but I'm just...
You have?
I have. I have just so many questions to throw back at you, but...
Ask the first question first.
Okay.
Answer.
Definitely. I even know somebody, not name names, who was telling me that they used to listen to Future, and this was someone that's younger than me, that they could tell in their life that they listened to Future.
Yeah!
Yeah.
But, the spirit of Future manifesting.
No, that's real, but I'm saying it's the only bad consequence of listening to music that you would feel raunchy. Like, what else can music
do? So, like, in that Future instance, like, I know people who, because they're fans of Future, they listen to his music, they were very misogynistic and just, like, treated girls like trash because Future's lyrics promotes
misogyny.
Yeah, I don't listen to him, so I don't know what he'd be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But even like Beyonce, for instance, I know this is, I'm not even gonna try and go too deep in this, but like the Black is King album, when Jackie was talking about how she was talking about like Osun and all these Nigerian gods, mm-hmm. like I don't imagine that that's innocent. Like, yeah. Some people would like to think that there's no impact, but like, if you are offering, singing music about a God that is not God, how is that not idol worship? Music that glorifies a God that is not, like, again, I'm not trying to go too deep in this.
Mm.
But I think even music that is like, cut everybody off, like, they don't deserve you, like, that can make you very, like, self-centered, very, like,
boy, do I have a song that was a horrible song. And I don't even know if it matters that we're trashing all these people on this podcast, but it is what it is. But Summer Walker that year, I think it was like 2018 or 19. I was...
I have another streak.
Really? I was 16? Was I? I don't know. But I was trying to teenager. And I had just like had so many field talking stages. And then this song called Just Might. I just might be a hoe because love is a losing game. Mm-hmm. So I just might be a hoe.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like sang that song with my chest. I was like, yes, I just love is whatever. And then like in hindsight, I'm like, that's a horrible thing to be singing.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you singing this? Because that again brings the relevance of the verse, whatever is good, true, mm-hmm. lovely, pure. Think about these things. Mm-hmm. Those are not good things to be thinking about. Like, it may seem innocent. It's not sexual in any nature, but... So, well, I guess who is sexual? But anyway,
I was going to say, maybe that's what we should, like, test the music we listen to against. Like, whatsoever is lovely, good. Think on these things. Because music is something that you will be meditating on, whether you like it or not. So I think maybe that's a good, like, check... benchmark to check against. But what I was going to say was... there's that SZA song, the your, My Man Is Your Man Is Our Man.
The Weeknd.
The Weeknd. Like, that song, what does it promote?
Polygamy.
Polygamy. Being the other woman. Yes, sharing. Side chicory. Side chicory. Like, so that is also not edifying. That's not glorifying. Like, because if God designed relationships or marriage to be between one man and a woman, then, like, that is anti God's design for marriage. So... it's not just like feelings of hot and heavy or raunchiness. Like, there's so many things it can like promote. Even my song used to be Bust the Windows Out Your Car by Jasmine Sullivan.
Oh, you put me under that one.
That song made me want to go and rip somebody's tires off. Like, I never did it, but I thought about it.
Okay, so this actually brings to my mind an interesting question. What is there some, because there's something said about the power of music.
Yeah.
Why is it so powerful? I wish I could now do a whole degree in music just to understand it. But do you think it has anything to do, maybe a leading question, do with Lucifer and him being
the angel of music?
He has had
music stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's plausible. I don't know for sure if that is why, because there is also music that glorifies God, obviously, like worship. So I don't know if that falls under Lucifer's.
I don't think it does, because again, and thank God for education, but we were talking recently about like literature and how good is the privation, sorry, evil is privation of good. So anything that evil is just evil perverse or like a lesser version of it. So I think God is...
You mean the good perverse?
Yes, sorry. God is still the creator of music, which is why we have beautiful music and all of that. But the enemy, again, being the king of the world, the music that is prevalent is going to be perverse. And I think maybe that's where that comes into, where he's just trying to scatter God's plans.
Take anything that God designed and pervert it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other reason music is so powerful is because people love to see themselves in, like, represented in stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's a book, like, that, like, talks about, let's say, random, I'm thinking of a specific book, I was going to say domestic violence. Like, I was thinking of It Ends With Us. Like, the relatability of the book for some people is like, wow, I can see myself in this story. And so that's the pull. So with music, like those sad girl songs, you like them because it almost felt like somebody verbalized the things on your heart that you never had the words
for. That is true. That is really true. Oh my goodness. All these songs, like sometimes songs are really the source of, they're just bad seeds. I remember one time, there's a little tea, but one time I liked this guy who I was friends with. And then I came across this friend called Friendship. And this
song?
A song, yeah. It's called Friendship question mark. And it's like, just tell me if we're just friends, because half of it doesn't feel like that. Who cares about the friendship? Like, I'm just gonna tell you as, like, do you know what I mean? And so I ended up telling this freaking boy that I liked him, and that was the worst decision I ever made. So, like, again, egging you on, like, oh my gosh, yes! Yes, this is me, like, in the music.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and I think if you're not filled with, like, the Holy Spirit, because in that situation, the Holy Spirit could have very well been, like, if I had asked, what should I do in the situation? But my mind was just so filled with this music that was affirming how I was feeling that I was like, yeah, I'm going to go with that.
So how has I think you kind of answered this question already, but you said you've consecrated your ears to God, and that applies or that like shows in the kind of music you listen to. Mm-hmm. Why was that important for you specifically? Like, we've spoken about all the hypothetical implications that different music can have on you. So I think you just mentioned that, like, this one made you do this thing, like, message this boy that you probably shouldn't have texted. But is there any other way that, like, the music you were listening to should, like, the weed you were talking about in your garden, the garden of your heart?
That's a good question. It just felt, honestly, to me, like, dead weight. And I will say that it has been a journey. And I still like music, but it is a choice to consecrate my ears to God. Because even when I'm at work, they be playing all my old favorite songs that I used to be listening to. And I'm, like, singing. Like, I can't ignore it. I'm still working on it. But anyways, what was the question?
Why was it important for you to consecrate your ears?
So yeah, I just felt like it was dead weight, because I would go through my like songs. So again, I'm not much of a playlist person, so I like having variation when I'm listening to music. And then as I was growing in my faith, like before, I used to listen to like all kinds of like people, and then slowly but surely, I would be listening to something and be like, hey, yo, like, whoa, why are you saying all of that? And that was the kind of music that became, like, incongruent to me. That was like, you know? So then I was now taking it off. And then slowly, like, as I progressed, or, like, you know, as time passed, then I was listening to, because I naturally have a disposition to R&B, slow and tempo music that, if you're not listening properly, it doesn't sound bad. Mm. But then I was not like, okay, wait, but this person is saying what this other person is saying, but just smoother. It doesn't change, you know, the content. And so I think it's just like in the reflecting, does this music bring me closer to God? Mm. And again, you said music is so powerful. And I found that, and maybe I'm going ahead here, I found that the more that I listen to Christian music, I was about, like, so every time I listen to Christian music, I'm like, wow, this is amazing, because, A, not only am I singing things that are true, because I think sometimes you're also singing, like, I don't know, maybe Sexy Red, and you're singing, da, da, da. You don't even, like, you can't relate to the greatest degree, like, oh, these guys talking about gangs in the hood, like, what the heck do I know about gangs? What do I know about that? But when I've been listening to Christian music, it's like, wow, this relationship that they're talking about, I have that relationship. Mm. Whenever I used to listen to all these love songs, like, I'd be feeling sad that I don't have anybody to really relate to, but in so many of the songs I've been listening to now, they're like, oh yeah, this love is good. I'm like, oh yeah, that's my love. Like, aww. You know what I mean? And I'm not striving for anything. I'm not lacking anything. Yeah, so I think it's just the point of being filled with God and living a life of righteousness and growing. And that's why I just stopped listening to secular music, as hard as it's been. But I think in anything in life that you want to grow in, there's some things you're going to have to forfeit, even though it's not necessarily the bad. Like, even if you're thinking of a bodybuilder, they're not going to be eating junk food. Like, how many, like, people who are dedicated, like they probably... like the McDonald's chips and stuff, they'll be eating those or whatever. So I think in the same sentiment, I'm not demonizing music, but for my own personal growth too,
That verse, everything is permissible, but not everything is wise.
Beneficial.
Oh, okay. Yeah, different translations. So that's why I said, like, you have to know what does you, like, what your own triggers are. I just remembered, like, that year, 2016, when Controller came out, like, sorry, that is, like, such a good sonically sounding song. Obviously, the lyrics are questionable to carry on. But, like, there were some songs that made me just be like, oh, man, I just need to be in the club right
now.
Guys, what the
whiny
song? A whiny song, bro.
Controller.
Oh, my gosh, you remember that year that was literally just whiny?
Thank you. So if you guys see, like, if you are listening, I'm just busting. So maybe you might have to go to the YouTube video for this one. Like, Controller. Ah.
Sorry.
Whiskey song,
my slow for me. It was Gypsy.
No, not you. No, that was. Anyway, there were some songs that had me like, oh, I just need to be in a club right now, and like that, like, was encouraging me to go to the club because I'd be like, hyped.
Ginger, when
this song comes in the club, the way I'm gonna throw it back, the way I'm gonna.
Okay, even I remember before. Before, like, December in Nige, whenever I song drop, I have this song in Death in December, I would be so mad. Like, imagine me at Rock, like, dancing with my friends, dancing with a man, like,
yeah.
I wonder what those songs are, like, Henny this, Lean that.
Was that like, about the boat?
Oh, my God.
Hey.
No, but those songs are actually, like, why did they actually sound good? They're like, truth aside, well, not truth aside,
no, we can't put the truth
we're not putting the truth aside, but I'm saying, like, lyrics aside, like, it's just such a hype song that brings you with your friends together. Like, it's not God glorifying giving, but like, why does it sound so good? You can't deny that.
You can't deny it, and I think that's what makes it hard, because if it was just the lyrics to a trash beat, like, what's the temptation there? Like, I'm not listening to that.
But, and so I think that's why there's this, like, new, I don't know how new it is, but genre of Christian, like, trap music. So you still get the beats, but with God glorifying lyrics.
Yeah, and I love that because, okay, there's so many things I want to say, but I'll say two things that I want to mention. So about, like, the trap glorifying music, God glorifying trap. I found that, like, in the past, I would, like, again, I had mixed songs in my playlist. So I have some Christian songs, some secular music. And like, say, I never wanted to start my morning with listening to secular music. But then if I don't want to start my morning listening to secular music, at what point in my day do I transition into, do you know what I mean? That was an internal dialogue I had with myself. And then sometimes I would put my thing on shuffle and it will go from a nice Christian song to like, nah, 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 you know what I mean? And I'm like, this is just so, like, incongruent. It's not fitting together very well. So yeah, that's another thing I found. But what was the last thing you met? Okay, I remember. So this is a running argument with people that love music, and it's hard to deny themselves, yeah, but I'm not, like, listening to the lyrics, or yeah, but like, it just sounds so good. And I think this is just even a comment, I'm not asking you a question. It's just because something feels good doesn't mean that it is good, and you shouldn't deny yourself of it.
That's a word.
Because music can have the potential to plant, or has the potential to plant seeds in your mind and all these things that we've spoken about. And like, how many, like, the devil is a wolf in sheep's clothing. So we can't be saying, oh yeah, it's nice, so it's good, or it sounds nice, so it's good. No, we have to look deeper. We have to listen to the lyrics. We have to, even apart from that, what is the spirit that inspired this song? That part, I was going to go there.
Yeah.
So anyways, you can, I guess, transition into it.
There's definitely a spirit behind songs, and this is like a whole other discourse. But there's even this school of thought that not all Christian music is God glorifying or spirit inspired.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I can see that, but Karen, like, I want to hear your elaborate on that.
Yeah, so I've heard some people talk about how, like, you really have to test the spirit behind everything, not even just because this song is sang by a Christian, but, like, is it true?
And what,
like, so, for instance, I think there's a, we can be tempted to form our own definition of God.
Yeah.
In our hearts. Like, there's a God of some people's lives that is like, he's just so loving, he's nice, and he's tolerant, and he
forgives everything, and like some of those things are true, but without the balance of his justice and his wrath and his
righteousness
and holiness, you get this frou-frou nice God that is like a walkover, like he's a doormat. But that's not God. So if you have these songs that are just like not balanced, for instance, or like songs that I don't know. I know, like, I've heard some people say that they can sense when, like, a song was birthed out of a place of maybe, like, selfish ambition or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not at that level. That's Christian Supremat.
Will you subscribe to that?
I mean, if it's available. Like, in the spirit of discernment, so people can just discern that, like, so, like, for instance, like, actually, let me not go there. I've heard like a pastor say that like, yeah, that Christian group is nice, but like, I don't know, there's something about it that is not just like sitting well with me. So I don't know, maybe it's the spirit that's incongruent with like the spirit in them, but
because that gets so technical, and I can imagine
it does. And I don't want to introduce that here, because for anyone listening to this that is like new to faith, just trying to figure it out. And that's why I even shied away from when I read it in the first place. I was like, this could now border on legalism. It could now, like, add a whole set of rules that, like, no, like, when Jesus says his yoke is easy and his burden is light, like, that doesn't sound easy or light. It sounds, like, complicated. It sounds, like, just overwhelming. So I don't want to introduce. I'm just saying, like, testing the spirit is a real thing.
Yeah. And I think it's so interesting because I know there's some, like, even older Christians, I have one in mind, and I think you might know who I'm talking about, who doesn't really have, like, a problem listening to the music, because it's also difficult to, my little sister had this point, too, where she was, our little sister had this point, too, where she was saying that, okay, but if I don't start listening to Christian music, and people are, like, talking to me, like, oh, who do you listen to, and I say, like, don't ready, they're like, who the heck is that? You know, so it just feels like unrelatable. But so how do you, like, do you know what I mean, like, how do you relate to people when you're in this segregated kind of part of life almost?
That's a good question,
because music is so communal too.
I was gonna say, sorry, it depends on, no, that's a good segue. I would say it depends on whether you think music is communal or not. So for me, my friends and I don't bond over music. Like, it's not something that really comes up in conversation, but maybe for her generation, it is. Maybe for her own group of friends, it is. So I can't really speak to that. I think most of my friends are on a similar wavelength to me. And so we're all, like, looking for more, like, edifying music to listen to anyway. But at the same time, it doesn't come up in conversation. Like, oh, have you heard, like, Nicki Minaj's new song? Like, that's not a conversation that we have. What about you?
I think the same. Like, you know, my friends, like, my closest friends, we don't really talk about music. Actually, depending, like, in the past, when me and a friend shared a, like, favorite artist, like, when the music dropped, we're like, oh my god, guy, did you listen to this? But I think it's the same now. Like, a lot of my friends and I have grown together in faith, and so my best friend has stopped listening to secular music as well. So whenever, like, somebody drops the music, we're like, oh my gosh, guy, like, da-da-da-da. Even the other day, I listened to her playlist, and there was this, I want to plug Breathe by Dunsi, because it's so good. But yeah, I was like, oh my,
see who?
Where you going? I was like, guy, like, this is so good. And she was like, yeah, this is so good. I mean, like, talking about it and gagging about it, because, again, the music has a communal aspect, whether it's good or whether it's bad or whatever. But yeah, it just brings people together. Like, you guys have this shared experience almost.
And I think, like, being a Christian, as uncomfortable as it might be for some people, there is an element of being, not of being afraid to stand out. Like, you're gonna have to, like, blaze some trails. You're gonna have to be an outlier in many situations, because the world is increasingly dark, and, like, we have to be a light in the darkness. And so, like, for me, it looks like, I've had conversations with people where they're like, oh, like, I want to stop listening to secular music, but I can't find anything to listen to in the gym. Like, and all the secular music has like so much swearing in it that I don't want to keep listening to that. And I'm like, oh, like let me put you onto my gym playlist as Christian. You get all the pump that you want and like the same trap beats and whatever, but the lyrics are clean. So in that way I'm able to like be an influence positively. But I think especially for her age group, like there can be, it can be discouraging or like intimidating to be that one person that is standing out. But I think as you grow your group of friends to be surrounded with, by people who are more like you, like you feel less alone.
Yeah, I will lie, it's hard though, because it's even hard. Sometimes like I'm a big like, I like using social media, like on Instagram, TikTok. I won't say like I'm a content creator or whatever, but when I'm even doing like cute little vids on Instagram, I'm like, why, this feels so lame that I'm using my favorite Christian song, but I still did it in spite of the fact because there might be people who are watching me who are like, who are looking for Christian songs. They're like, oh, I didn't know this was a Christian song. This is really good. But it just feels so uncomfortable. And I guess this is what you were saying, just being like, obviously different, like, you know, because I could have easily done, and I'm not saying this is bad though, this is just an example that's readily available, but like, can I call you Rose on my Instagram story? But it just doesn't reflect the music that I listen to in my private time, so why am I trying to act as if it does? And I think it's even a little different on TikTok culture though, because there's obviously like the trending sounds, and so I can't now knock on my bring my Christian me, because I've never like created a sound before anyway, so it's a little different in that aspect when you're trying to like share with people and it's not reaching the people that you want to share, because and but I also have a boundary myself that I don't post music on TikTok with swear words or like
explicit lyrics.
So it's tricky because I would then post Can I Call You Rose on my TikTok maybe, but I don't know, like, why is it?
I think what I would also say to just round up that topic is there are probably more people like you than you think. Because I think one of the lies the devil tries to plant is, oh, you're the only one. Like, you're the odd one out. Nobody else is listening to Christian music. Nobody else, like, wants to stop listening to secular music. And I think that might be, like, again, for our sister's generation, like, the temptation to be like, I don't want to be the odd one else. But it will shock you how, like, the minute you put up your hand, you're like, actually, I don't want to listen to this anymore. Somebody else will be like, oh my gosh, me too. Like, and then you don't feel as alone. Because, again, the devil wants to make you think, oh, you're the only one that's not doing this. You're not the only one that's not doing that. I wanted to go back to what you said about how the music you do listen to now positively impacts your life.
Oh, I got a list for this one. Actually, funny enough, I was going to make a TikTok about my transition. about my transition from listening to secular music to listening to only Christian music. Why did you make me qualify that?
I said nothing.
Your face said everything and the silence said anything. But one, I love singing scripture over myself. There's nothing, because the word of God is powerful. The word of God increases your faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. I'm literally like hearing the word of God. Just even declarations. There's so many songs that I know that are declarations over myself. And there's this song I was listening to recently when I was sad called No Fear by Madison Ryan Ward. And I don't know what psalm it is, but it's Have No Fear Because I Am With You. Or even maybe Isaiah or something. But anyways, I love singing that because I'm like, this is caters kind of how I'm feeling right now, because I don't always want to listen to like a super happy upbeat Christian song when I'm sad. So I think this is also something I will say, there's a lot more good Christian music than you think.
Girl,
like bless all the Christian artists out there doing the Lord's work.
You deserve your flowers.
You do, because when I tell you, like, before my transition, I was like, oh, like Christian music is just like so subpar. I feel like they always want to rhyme like God saved me on the cross to make sure I do something, like, do you know what I mean? Like, stop with the rhymes, like it doesn't have to rhyme. But I love music. I love discovering like new stuff. So when I was like, okay, you know, this is something I actually want to embark on. Spotify, I love you. Shameless plug for Spotify.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, y'all. I know a lot of y'all are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, but come over to the other side.
Yeah, like, we'll pay for your subscription.
No, we won't.
But Spotify.
Spotify, the recommendations, bro, the algorithm, the things they have put, the artists they've put me onto.
It's so good. And then even like, because I know some people talk about, some people talk about how Spotify sometimes like takes away the joy of finding music yourself. But I'm still like, okay, Spotify will show me something. I'll now go and explore, like, oh, who does this person listen to? Or like that kind of thing. And the country goes, but the music I have on is so good. Even so much so that my little sister, I put her on some. She was like, Farah, you mean Christian music can sound like this? I wasn't even playing like songs for her. She was like, Farah, what do you mean this is Christian? I'm like, babe, just tune your ears. Like, this is good stuff. And as somebody who loves music, I don't like subpar things. Mm. So there's many times, like in the past, I would maybe listen to like little like badly produced songs or whatever. But as I've dug deeper, I'm like, wow, there is a world of Christian music that doesn't even have the exposure that it deserves. Mm-hmm. So yeah, even just enjoying the music, mm-hmm, that's giving God glory, being able to sing scripture over, mm-hmm, myself, the word of God, and also being, like I said, just to reiterate, being able to relate to the music, mm-hmm, is a whole other ballgame. And I can relate to almost everything that they're talking about, whether I'm lamenting, whether I'm happy and praising God. And I love that it's so dynamic, because you can have, girl, I found 60s Christian music, because I love 60s soul. Yeah, Sam Cooke is Christian, if you guys know him. I found like early 2000s music, so it literally sounds like New Edition. I need to push you on. R&B, what else? Trap, like Nigeria.
We just might share some playlists with you guys. So if you don't follow us on Instagram, you should, because that's where we're going to drop.
Yeah, even like Afro beats, indie, like there's everything you're looking for.
Trap, hip hop, rap.
Even the tradition, because sometimes I like a good like contemporary, but then when you go back to when the music fades, like those also hit, mm-hmm, too. And even the Nigerian, like Nathaniel Bassey, mm-hmm, vibes, like there's a world. And like, I don't think you should trade goodness, mm-hmm, for badness when there's still so much good in the good.
Mm-hmm. And I literally feel like everything you're looking for can be found in a Christian version, like in Christian music, because some people come like say, oh, you know, I want something more upbeat for the gym, there's music for that. I want something more romantic to like play for my spouse, there's music for that.
There was one day I woke up and I was like, I think it was Valentine's Day, I was feeling like really in the mood for love. Ask me why there was like, you know, those like piano dinner music, mm-hmm, Christian version of that one. I can't remember the name right now. I was like, this is so romantic with me and God. And there's even like
music I've heard that's like romantic Christian music that makes you aspire to God's design for marriage. Like, I think my Todd has one called Future Forever that's like, when I'm like planning a romantic dinner for my husband or whatever, like there's music for that as well. So you don't have to trade anything. Mm. Like, you don't lose. That's what I'm trying to say. And I want to add that, yes to everything you said, and the piece we said about, I've just lost my train of thought. Not relatability, but music being able to help you articulate what you can't. Like, that is big on Christian music for me too. Because there's this song called, I Will Not Fear. I can't remember who it's by right now. But when I was pregnant and I was so anxious and I didn't have the words, like, I didn't want to keep saying the same thing, like, God, I'm scared, God, I'm scared, God, I'm scared. Like, I would just play that song and wash myself in it. Like, I will not fear, I will not fear. There's music that helps you see God rightly. Like, Voice of God by Dante Bowie and Stephanie Gretzinger. Like, that song, I remember when it came out. It's the voice of God, it's the voice of God.
Anyway,
when it first came out, like, I literally just knelt down on my floor in the dark and I was weeping because it encapsulated so much about God that I had never thought about before. And so, like, music is so powerful.
And I think that's why music is so powerful too, because apart from relatability, it causes you to enter somebody else's world. Mm. And like see things from their perspective. And if somebody's world is demonic, I'm not trying to open that door. And so I think that's kind of sums everything up, why music is so powerful, because
you saw so much that you wouldn't have seen otherwise, because mm-hmm. we have limited perspective, but this person has perspective on this one, and they have like the artistry from mm-hmm. God to like amplify, but we could also have the artistry from the devil to like
amplify that,
you know. And I'll also say there's power in the tongue. Yeah. So like whether you're consciously singing something or subconsciously singing it, the truth is you're saying it,
yeah,
and it's coming out of your mouth, yeah. And there's power in the tongue. So like I remember, what's this guy, Lil Uzi, where he had that like all my friends are dead, and like people were singing that, and I'm like, do you know what you're saying?
Edge? Yeah.
If you're singing that, unfriend me. Like I'm not. You're putting me in harm's way by singing this song. So like there's power in the tongue, like what you were saying about how I just might be a hoe. Like when you start exhibiting hoe tendencies, you can't be too shocked because you declare that over yourself. Mm-hmm. And so people might say it's not that deep, but it's always that deep.
It's always that, like, guys, let's not be naive. No. Man, we battle not against flesh and blood,
literally,
but against powers and principalities.
Come on,
against things that we can't see. So it's not, oh no, this person didn't mean it. Like, do you know how much effort goes into marketing? Do you know how much effort goes into... Like, there's no way these things are mistakes. And if you don't know, if you're not listening to the lyrics, listen. Because I know there's some people's yeah. excuses. Oh, it's just a nice tune. No, it's more than a nice tune.
Yeah. And the Bible says not to be ignorant of the enemy's devices. Yeah. Like, he... Don't forget you have a real enemy that hates you and actively wants to, like... pull you away from God. So if you are constantly aware, like Farah said, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, like everything is spiritual, like there are no coincidences. So if you are listening to this music that makes you feel a certain way, that is not of God, that does not pull you closer to God, who do you think is orchestrating that?
Yeah. And again, the Bible verse that really just ties it in for me, that if this was a debate and there were both sides, evidence whatsoever, let me even see if I can find the full list of things. Okay, so whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
What scripture is that?
Oh, Philippians 4:8.
Yeah, so God hasn't left us to figure this out on our own. Like, there's a benchmark that we can, like, assess things against. Like, go through the list. Is this song these things? Is this making me think about things like this? And if it's not, then maybe it's not bringing you closer to God, and maybe it doesn't have a place in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the Holy Spirit has been convicting you. Maybe you have been like, oh, music is just a little bit, it doesn't sit right with me anymore. Like, lean into that and trust that, like, your people are out there. We're out here.
Your people are out there. And what's so funny is that, again, I love music. It's been hard to let go, but I think it's been a worthy sacrifice, because this is, I guess, for people who want to go closer to God. If you don't want to go closer to God,
this why is not a society podcast? Like,
but if you do, then we're challenging you to grow in purity and righteousness. I'm not saying, like, you must stop listening to all secular music, but at least to reflect on the things that we're saying.
And I will actually challenge you, like, don't think of it as, oh, I have to stop everything right now and, like, delete all my music and then make this sharp transition to Christian music. Like a cup that is filled with dirty water, the more clean water you put in, it will just displace the dirty water.
Yeah, that's true.
So just start listening to Christian music. And I think over time, you will just, for me, it wasn't like a, I had to make a, so I used to be a big Beyonce fan. Big Beyonce fan.
It pained me. I couldn't listen to that Renaissance album, Shell, but anyways.
But, and that bring, I didn't have the desire.
Really?
It wasn't something I had to, like, oh my God, I really want to listen to this, but I can't. I had no desire to listen to Renaissance. I had no desire to listen to the one with her husband. I can't even remember what it was called.
The Carters or something.
But I used to be a huge Beyonce fan. But as I started listening to more Christian music, I just lost interest. So it's kind of like, even with sin, like when we're like, oh, I have to clean myself up before I come to God. And that is one of the lies the enemy uses to keep you from coming to God, because you keep thinking, oh, one day, maybe like when I'm older, maybe when I'm done having fun, maybe when I, and like gives you the illusion that tomorrow is promised. But like, just start where you are. Start where you are, come as you are, and trust that God will. It's like saying, I want to have a shower before I get in the shower. Jesus is the one that will wash you clean. You just come.
Yeah, that's good. And I think even... Oh, no, I lost my train of thought.
As you gather yourself, I think a good prayer to pray is also, God, like, search my heart and know me. Test my heart, test my desires. Give me the desires of your heart. Mm. Because God will make you want what he wants. Like, when you pray specific prayers, like, you don't have to you can't pray like, God, help me not like this music anymore. Help me not to be drawn to this music. But I think a good prayer is also like, God, expose what is in my heart that is making this attractive to me.
That's actually what I was going to get along the lines of. Because I think even... Oh, I keep losing my train of thoughts, but hopefully as I keep talking, it'll come back. But I think music is... No, that's actually not what I was going to say. But I also don't want people watching this to think that you're not a real Christian, you're not a good Christian, mm-hmm. you're not any of these things if you're not listening to... Like, if you're still listening to secular music. Because, like Marwa said, come as you are. And it's, like, a growth process. I've been Christian since, 2021? Properly. And I've only been, like, I only just stopped listening to music in December.
Secular
music. I only stopped listening to secular music in December. And that's not to say that my faith was discounted all those 3 years or 2 years of my life. I think, again, it's, like, asking God, like Marwa said, to reveal what is in your heart that is still bound to that music. Because I think even for certain people, like, maybe there's comfort in the dysfunction, like, the dysfunctional perspective of love that you're kind of trying to hold on to that. Mm-hmm. But if God, like, reveals your heart, then he can introduce to you what is my skewed perception of love and consequently what is real love.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can let go of things that are no longer serving me and I'm holding me down, and I can accept God's love and I can accept his word and in songs that glorify his word.
That's good. Yeah, I think
we went around, but we landed.
Took a trip, Mo. And I love you guys for taking that trip with us, if you're still listening at this point.
Yeah. Well, I hope something in here blessed you. I hope that you feel, if anything, conviction and not condemnation, because that is never our desire.
Never.
Like, it's the devil that condemns. We don't do that.
And again, I've told you guys, I'll still be doing a little 1-2 to the songs I play at work. It's definitely a journey. God is still working on my heart. I'm not perfect at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God is merciful and gracious and... I think that's all that there is to say.
Yeah, because this wasn't really a prescriptive conversation at all.
No, it was us just, like, discussing our journeys.
Yeah, and we're not saying you should do or you should not. We're just talking about our journeys, telling you guys the truth that is in God's word, which is the truth. And, yeah.
Do with that what you will.
Dun, dun, dun.
I think we should say a quick prayer.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. I prayed last time. Don't try and pin this on me.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for music. We thank you that it is a gift. We thank you that you have given so many creatives, like, the gift and the anointing to create good music. We thank you for our different journeys, Lord. We thank you that you have been patient with us. You are so kind and merciful, God, that even when we were astray, God, that you loved us. Even when we were in our sin, you loved us. So God, I pray for everyone that is listening to this, that desires to consecrate their ears to you, God, to love and serve you with every part of their body. God, I pray that you would give them the desire. If they don't want it, I pray you give them the desire. If they need you to give them strength, God, I pray that you would give them strength. I pray that you would open the eyes of their hearts, Lord, so that they can see listen to the music with spiritual ears, see with spiritual eyes, God, that they would not be ignorant to the enemy's devices. I pray, Lord, for community of friends who also long to listen to music that glorifies and edifies. And I pray that you help them on the journey. I pray that you surround them, help them just stumble across, pay for their Spotify membership, Lord,
yeah,
so that they discover music that meets the needs that they have but is still pulling them closer to you. And we pray that this podcast would not feel in any way like a burden, God, but that it would maybe feel like a gentle nudge for the person who has been looking for that step that will take them closer to you. Mm. And we pray that they would not ignore the nudges of the Holy Spirit, but that they would lean in, God, and experience the depths of intimacy with you that is on the other side of their obedience. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.